Chapter 5. The Squirrel Who Fell to Earth. Some time later, 3 or maybe 4 realms away, Jed opened his eyes. He blinked in the dimness and thought, "Where am I?" Then, remembering, he thought, "Oh, right." And then, "But really, where am I?" He made his way out from under the pile of leaves and looked around. It was a strange place, and he tried to sort out what was strange about it from what wasn't. The leaves had a different aroma and a rounder shape than the kind he knew, but they were still leaves. The trees wore a rougher bark, and their branches grew from the trunks in a different arrangement. But they were still trees, right? The soil felt grainy under his paws, but it was soil, and the same sun shone in the sky. He was wondering what kind of nuts the trees might have, or if they even had nuts, when a pair of squirrels scurried by. Each one dragged a rounded item covered in petals, like flower petals, only brown and woody. The objects were almost as big as the squirrels themselves, who were smallish. Their fur had a reddish tint. Jed called out and they halted in their tracks. They turned to look at him, curious. One of them set down his woody orb and spoke. At first, Jed thought he was speaking in another language, but as he listened, he realized it was just a strong accent. There were some words he didn't know, slang words, maybe? He spoke back, and the two squirrels laughed, not in a mean way. "Where are you from, then?" asked the larger one. "I'm Chuck Roit." "I'm Sam," said the other. "And who are you?"
"What?" said Jed.
"Oh, Jed. Call me Jed."
Then he tried,
"I'm Jed."
And all three of them laughed. Sam and Chuck said, as
how they were just about to chow down and wouldn't he care to come along.
Jed said that he would, and they led him to a picnic area where several squirrels were already eating. They sat around a careless heap of woody orbs. Jed watched how they yanked the petals off and nibbled the seeds that were hidden beneath. Chuck nodded his head toward the pile and said,
"Go on, Jed, try one then."
Tentatively, Jed pulled one of the orbs closer. He grabbed a petal with his teeth and yanked it away. He took a nibble of a small dry seed. It was not bad. Kind of weird at first, but Jed's mother had taught him the rule of 3 bites, and by the 3rd bite, it tasted pretty good.
"What do you call this dish, then?" he asked. "We calls it pine cones," said Jed. "So spit it out, then," said Chuck.
"Spit it out?" asked Jed, who had already swallowed it.
"Your story," said Chuck. "Tell us where you're from. You're not from here. We know it and all."
"Oh," said Jed. "Right. I mean, right. Well," he told them his story, from the squirrel who cried wolf, right down to bouncing off the unfortunate dog. They listened, spellbound, mostly. Jed had the feeling that some of the squirrels thought he was making it all up.
"I don't blame you if you don't believe me," he said. "I wouldn't believe it myself, except that's the way it happened."
He said this without trying to imitate the reddish accent. There was a silence, one of those pauses where no one knows what to say next. Then one of the squirrels let out a shrill, "Woof!" It was a joke, and off they all went, laughing and chattering, except for Chuck.
"Bunch of silly twits," said Chuck. "Every mess has 'em. It seems as we got more in our share. Don't mind 'em, though. They means well enough. They just have to get used to you. Make yourself at home. You'll be right before you know it."
Chuck knew of a good hole midway up a hornbeam tree where Jed could make a nest. He started right in, gathering up twigs and leaves and feathers, chattering all the while about this and that. Jed gathered too, though he thought Chuck might be overdoing it.
"It doesn't have to be a really good nest," he said. "I won't be staying for long."
Chuck looked at him, amused.
"Where'll you be going then?" he asked. "Is that all coming by to carry you back home? Let me know when he's coming, so's I can hide in that."
He said this in a jolly way and busied himself with some wisps of duck down, humming as he worked. But his jolly words put a new thought into Jed's mind. Up until now, it had been all, "Wow, I'm alive, and where am I, and who are you?" But there it was, like a cold gray cloud. He wasn't going home. Maybe ever. How could he? He had no idea where it was. He carried a wad of milkweed fluff up into the den and pulled it apart, dropping the silly fibers onto the heap. He took a long time to do it because his face kept going into weird shapes and puddles kept forming in his eyes. When he went outside again, Chuck wasn't there, but he had left a big pile of bedding and a smaller pile of snacks at the base of the tree. As Jed popped a seed into his mouth, two of the reddish squirrels scooted by. One of them shouted, "Ars Jebbo Felden, Jed!" or something like that. Jed couldn't even make it out. But it sounded friendly. Maybe it was even a joke. So he flashed a big fake grin. He chuckled. He chuckled and grinned a lot that day. Sometimes he got the jokes, sometimes he didn't. Chuck showed him where the things were, told him who was who and what was what. Jed tried to keep busy, very busy. Sometimes he raced to the top of a tree and back down several times in a row, just to wear out the feelings he kept having. When daylight dwindled and darkness sifted down, he was so tired he could barely stand up. He perched on the limb outside his new den, while scraps of chatter filled the air around him, blooming and fading like the lights from fireflies. Finally, all was still. Jed crawled into his new nest and curled up. He closed his eyes. He could not sleep, though. Not right away. His mind filled with thoughts of home, the aroma of oak, the taste of nuts, and most of all, the voices and faces of his friends, his family, his neighbors. Especially his pals Chai and Tsts. But even Jip. Would he never see them again? It seemed crazy. Was it true? He scolded himself. It may be that this is my home now, and it is a good enough place, better than the belly of a hawk. He tried to ignore the feather of a longing that tickled his heart, but it kept tickling, because he hadn't quite made up his mind to stay here. Why should I? He thought. It's not my home. Maybe I'll stay, and maybe I won't, he thought. Maybe I'll just get up in the morning and I'll... He couldn't think what it was that he had to do, or that he would do. He felt sure he would do something, though. First thing, comforted by that idea, he drifted off. He let go of the day and all that had happened. His body relaxed and his mind went dark, awaiting the story music of dreams. He slept.